Okay, dudes and dudettes, you are listening to Gallifrey Public Radio. I'm Noel Clark. Don't you ever, ever, ever touch that dial.
This is Gallifrey Public Radio, a weekly podcast dedicated to positive enjoyment of Doctor Who. We travel through classic and new episodes, explore the extended universe, and play a few games from time to time. We do discuss news, content that has been officially released, and the occasional interesting rumor, but we'll warn you before anything considered spoilers comes up. Welcome to episode 382 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where there's no story you can't tell, no adventure you can't take, with a decent internet service provider and a camera on your laptop or mobile device, apparently. I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay. This week we're going to challenge our abilities to create Doctor Who stories that might actually be entertaining to watch, without the luxury of a set, costumes, or potentially even the proper cast of characters.
Yeah, so we're going to call this one Quarantine Productions. We thought we were going to play a bit of a stunt casting game. We decided we were going to mess with the entire production cycle in this process, based on the flood of fascinating at-home DIY content that we've been getting from not only the fan base, but the producers and creators themselves. So the way it'll work is like this. In each round, you try and come up with an entertaining Doctor Who story idea. But for the sake of timeliness in this global lockdown of a world, we have to work with what we have. So if you want sets, you're probably going to grab some cardboard and our kids' crayons. You need some costumes? Well, go raid your closet. You need a cast? Well, not everyone's going to be available, and there are always some technical issues that have to be overcome. So you get creative.
For example, the 10th Doctor and Martha travel to the metal planet of Gurs, where the local parliament is dealing with a threat from the neighboring star system, Living Rust. But because David Tennant is currently working on a BBC One series with Michael Sheen, Tin will be played by Joel McHale, and the set will be a lot of creative use of tinfoil and the guts of a few toasters. Oh, and the Rust creatures will be played by fistfuls of paprika.
All right, yeah, easy enough, right? Just think of what you'd get if you allowed us to produce something for Doctor Who Lockdown. You know, it's about the same quality of product.
Right. This has got the GPR stamp of approval all over it, because this is about the best we could do. So, you get what you pay for. I'm sure our Patreon subscribers would get a much better quality.
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready to play a couple rounds of this?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
All right. So, Haley, why don't you take the start of the first round here with your lockdown Whovian story.
All right. Well, my story is going to star the 10th Doctor and Donna, and they are facing off once again against the Weeping Angels. But of course, as we just discussed, David Tennant's unavailable, and you know, Catherine Tate's also a busy woman, and she doesn't know how to make the camera thing come on. So we looked around on who's producing quarantine content right now. And you know, Amy Schumer is doing a cooking show from her rented home in upstate New York. So she's going to play Donna for us. And because her husband is already in the house quarantined with her, he'll have to be Tin. And to face off against the angels, her husband has stolen a cherub statue from one of the neighbor's gardens, as he's wont to do if you've watched the show. And that will be carried around by their nanny, who is also their camera lady.
I love this. This is going as delightfully wrong as I would have expected. Oh, yeah. All right, Jay, you've got the next story to provide us for Doctor Who low rent lockdown.
So, all right. So time is in flux. Things are mashing together. Times are coexisting that shouldn't be, and weird combinations are starting to happen. You know, one of which would be the silence are suddenly merged with the creature from Listen. So the bad guy's always there, but you don't actually see them. You might see a blanket over something person-shaped. but I don't have costuming here. I'm sorry. This is what I got to do. But you know, then you get the weird pairing of the 10th Doctor and Amy Pond. But Karen Gillan, being the Marvel superstar that she is now, it is unavailable. So both parts will actually be played by David Tennant. So he will play 10, and he will wear his red wig from Good Omens and use his natural Scottish accent to play Amy.
I would pay cash money to see this. I don't even care. All right. Let's see if I can somehow salvage my idea in comparison to those gems. So it's London of 1999. Okay, the country is gripped in the somewhat nervous panic of Y2K, and the Eighth Doctor is back. This time, he's trying to maintain the peace while seeking out the source of a mysterious pulse that's coming from the rafters above Paddington Station, but he does so by returning through San Francisco first to scoop back up Dr. Grace Holloway for the adventure. The trouble is, Daphne Ashbrook is having some serious internet connection issues right now. She's not exactly as tech-savvy as we would want her to be. So in an incredible act of last-minute casting, Kate McKinnon jumps in to help. Paul McGann isn't really quite sure how he's going to be able to incorporate this new level of sarcasm from Grace, but it's really nothing in comparison with the sound effects of the train station that have been bought from freeringtones.com. or the fact that every supporting character in the story is voiced and impersonated on screen with varying wigs made out of pipe cleaners by Matt Lucas.
Nice.
So that's going to be quality.
Side note, my third prompt that I won't be using also had Kate McKinnon in it.
You cannot have enough McKinnon.
No. I'll give you that guy one in the outro, guys.
Fantastic. Yeah, so stick around for the After Dark for that one. All right, round two. I'll reverse the direction. So I'll lead off, and then Jay, take the midpoint, and Haley can bring us home.
All right.
It's the coronation of King Freytag the 17th, the ruler of Atlantis and the lord of all of the seas of the earth. And the coronation is in the final stages of preparation. Now, since Atlantis is a mecca of culture, scientific advancement, and proper decorum, frankly, it's obvious that the Sixth Doctor is a certainty to be on the invite list, and he and Perry are more than happy to attend. But when the assembled guests start disappearing, leaving only piles of luminescent fish scales behind, the celebration turns into a very tense and dangerous investigation. Well, that was the plan. For the story, anyway. The problem was Colin has gotten into a bit of a tete-a-tete with Nick Briggs over the proposed cover art, which pictured him in a customary high affair merman suit, and so he refused to record. So, needing a larger-than-life voice to play the role, Christopher Walken was brought in, which was much to Nicola Bryant's delight, and he was even willing to play along when he was being asked to examine the colorful Atlantean scales at the murder scenes, which were represented by rainbow sprinkles that they found in the kitchen cabinet. The setting was easy enough to create, though, because they just asked both actors to sit in front of their saltwater fish tanks during the Zoom recording.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, Jay, what have you got for our second round of stunt productions?
So the threat is growing hot and heavy. You know, the doctor realizes that it's becoming a bit much to handle at times, and occasionally they need backup. But, you know, who can you trust when you're the doctor? You know, there's so many obviously you're going to trust yourself. But, you know, given the Blinovich limitation effect, the doctor can't be around the doctor without weird things happen. So they figured out a way around this. They get into the TARDIS telepathic circuits, and they're able to communicate through this with each other and have these training sessions. Well, the Third Doctor, being the military man that he is, decides that he is going to run these training sessions. And the best software that he can find to do so is this strange web application called Roll20. And so you have an entire multi-doctor episode story with the Third Doctor running a D&D campaign for the rest of the doctors.
You know, I would say that if it were a contemporary for him, I could totally see him at least doing some sort of magazine ad for D&D, even if he had no idea the product that he was hawking. All right, Haley, bring us home on this one. What do you got for your next story?
All right, so our last story is going to see our 13th Doctor and fam facing off once again against the Master and the Cybermen, Cyber Time Lords, whatever. but Jodie's busy making her own little Doctor Who web videos and refuses to take part in this production. And the rest of the cast says, well, we're not going to do it without Jodie. So luckily, we were able to get a hold of the Parks and Rec cast before they completely shut down after they did their quarantine episode. So we will have our 13th Doctor, played by Leslie Knope, Amy Poehler. Graham will be played by Jerry, Jim O'Hare. Ryan will be played by Tom, Aziz Ansari. And Yaz will be played by April Ludgate, Aubrey Plaza.
Wow.
And our nemesis in this episode will have the Master, played by Perd Hapley, Jay Jackson. And the Cybermen are going to be played by John Ralphio, Ben Schwartz.
That could actually really work well.
I want to see this now.
I don't know if any of them actually would know what Doctor Who was. I gotta wonder. Maybe Aubrey Plaza. Maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah. So if you've got some ideas for what you could do for some last minute shenanigans to come up with a decent story poorly executed. I guess that's kind of the tagline for this entire thing. A decent story poorly executed. No, I'm writing that down as we speak. Then feel free to throw us some feedback on that, tweet a reply or put a comment on where you saw it posted on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube and let us know. If you've got something, that could be worth an honorable mention in the weeks to come, because we'd love to hear what you could do with this. There are far more creative minds out there than the three of us for sure.
Definitely. All right. We ready to jump into the news?
We've got so much to get through. Let's do this. Jay, we talked about this last week. You've got a chance to watch it once or twice. I didn't realize this was going to be as long as it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, take us through this Doctor's Assemble audio production that they did for us.
Yeah, there's it's 15 minutes. It's on YouTube. It's a great fan film kind of thing. It is all of the Doctors collaborating on a problem. You know, the fourth Doctor starts reaching out to his other selves, and literally everybody chimes in. And some fantastically so, others it gets a bit dicey, but you know.
Yeah. Some interesting voice and impersonation talents. We knew last week that this was going to be done as a result of some impersonators, but we did have David Bradley as the first Doctor, which I consider to be accurate casting. So.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But it was great that they at least gave him his really, really tinny voice. He couldn't figure the technology out and wondered why he was there. And there are some gem moments in here. The sixth Doctor refusing to be on the call sends him to voicemail.
Yep.
But yeah, I have to say, of all the impersonators, who did you think was most spot on and who was farthest from the point?
Furthest from would probably have to be Capaldi. I don't know if... I mean, the picture wasn't overly helpful. It took me a real minute to realize who it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But I would have to say the most spot on was probably the fourth Doctor, because it took me a good while to figure out that it wasn't actually Tom Baker.
Huh, okay. I'm with you on the Capaldi impersonation. I think that was probably just a matter of anybody that could get a gruff brogue in, and the delivery wasn't what I expected it to be. I wasn't terribly pleased with their Jodie impersonator either, but that was just because there's a particular timbre to her voice, and very specific. Like, I don't even know if the impersonator was giving a natural Yorkshire accent. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the fact that just the tone of her voice wasn't quite there. But the one that was really, that I thought was just kudos for getting it done, was the War Doctor's.
Oh yeah,
impersonator. I mean, it was shocking. As far as I thought, wow, that's somebody who has devoted a lot of time and attention to getting every raspy little inflection in Sir John Hurt's voice. So kudos to that. But it's worth a watch. It's fun. And it's written, James Goss wrote it. So, you know, it's got a lot of that funniness, lots of little references to one another, the way they dig at one another, you know, the call ending with everyone dropping off, and it just leaves you with Sylvester McCoy playing the spoons and Patrick Troughton tootling on his recorder, and just brilliant. So, speaking of all the bits of audio recording and things that are being done, as we knew was going to be the case, this is going to be a very audio-heavy news segment. Just aware, because that's everything that's happening right now. Peter Davison is doing his work, you know, cutting his audio for some things for BBC, some things for Big Finish, some things for some side projects. But I guess they decided that he needed to dress up his home studio a bit.
Yeah, and this is fantastic. I mean, this is what you get when you have a lifelong nerd.
It's actually not a bad little a little cabinet closet that he records, and the sound quality in there has got to be pretty solid, I imagine. But at least he installed around things. So.
Yes.
Kier, aren't you working on building a new home studio?
I am. I am currently in my utility room. I have my entire recording rig sitting on top of my dryer, because at least then I can be surrounded by clothes. I can't even record in the closet because there's nothing in my closets. So I am...
Add some round things, it'll be fine.
Yeah, precisely, yeah. We mentioned, it might have been last week or the week before, that we knew that the Listen tweet-along and rewatch was going to be happening. And one of the things that had sort of come to light during the tweet-along that we didn't mention at the time was that Moffat, as he's wont to do, now that he's got a Twitter account back that he feels safe behind, maybe the statute of limitations on Moffat attacks is dwindling, he had a scene in Listen that had to be cut for budget constraints. I don't even know if they filmed it, but it was on the original paper anyway.
Yeah.
Would have been interesting, though, even though it was just a name reference, but correct me if I'm wrong, this is one of very few name checks that the Moffat era gave to Torchwood.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember at this point, but I can't. I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, you really don't get any Torchwood involvement all through the 11th Doctor's tenure. I mean, yeah. Obviously no Jack Harkness, and I think there's maybe only one other point where the organization really kind of gets referenced in passing. But this would have been something where in the library scene in Listen, there would have been a mention where some dangerous texts were held specifically by Torchwood because of the nature of their contents. But the entire scene had to be scrapped because they couldn't. They just had to, you know, keep the entire story under budget. But yeah, so as long as they want to keep Moffat talking and let him continue to share this kind of stuff, because this is seeds for fanfic a long way. You know, every time he mentions something that could have been, somebody decides to run off with the idea. So. Something, I don't know how to categorize this. I want to put it under something lovely, but it also is reminiscent of something that still gives me a bit of agita. We remembered a while back there was a guitarist and a composer and music arranger by the name of Bono Matoshik, who does amazing stuff. I mean, he did, he took the score from Heaven Sent, and redid it under for guitars and did all this amazing work. He said that he was going to be working on a lockdown project and was recruiting a lot of people to be involved with something that he actually put up to internet vote and let them kind of come up with the idea of what piece they were going to do and how it was going to be coordinated, given that everybody was doing their recording their various audio components remotely. The end result is that they did a crowd-sourced, I guess you could say, crowd-contributed take on the Long Song from the Rings of Akaten, and did it in such a way that if you were just to listen to it, you'd think, oh, well, that's a nice arrangement. That's, you know, choir sounds good. It's, you know, nice violinist, interesting guitars and stuff. But if you watch it and see what they did, that's where it gets really impressive. Jay, did you get a chance to watch through this?
I have not. I haven't had a chance yet.
This is, apparently what they did was, so they treat it, it is the song proper, you know, it's minutes and minutes long, because hey, you know, as the title indicates, it's a long song. But because they had a couple hundred people contribute vocal parts to the chorus, that is singing through this, that's supposed to be singing to this sleeping sun god, the way they cut the video was that they put all of their faces, all of their personal recordings as they were recording their part. But dozens upon dozens, or I want to say nearly 100 plus of these voices arranged behind the soloist who is singing the lead and is also playing the violin for these parts. It ends up becoming something where you realize that, okay, this could have been just strictly for the visual aspect, just to show a bunch of people saying, oh, we all love this episode, we really love this song. But then you realize, no, they're legitimately contributing their parts to this choir. Mm-hmm. And the end result is just a really, really impressive little piece of video work and audio work, because he's, as a professional musician and arranger, the quality of what he pulled together is such that if somebody has not given this man a lot of work as a result of what he has done strictly for his love of Doctor Who and his love of Murray Gold's scores and things like that, then that is absolutely due to him. It's just, it's a really, really interesting thing to watch. I'm going to put this next one under wow. So you remember a couple months ago where we said that that Big Finish was going to be doing a multi-master story. Mm-hmm. And it was all really interesting because we were going to have Sir Derek Jacobi, and we were going to have John Sim, and we were going to have Michelle Gomez, and we were going to have some voice impersonators for Anthony Ainley and Roger Delgado, and we were going to have Eric Roberts too. We were going to have we're going to have Jeremy Beamer, and we're going to have all of the masters that Big Finish has ever represented. Mm-hmm. Well, that was interesting enough. They just one-upped us, because apparently you can't hold audio production down during a quarantine. So they're giving Eric Roberts his own story.
I am actually really excited about this. I'm looking forward to seeing... I mean, come on, the bar is set so low, it cannot be anything but better.
But here, there are two really interesting aspects to this. Okay, one is the fact that they are going to be incorporating it with the Vienna story, with the Vienna character. So Chase Masterson is going to be her huntress mm-hmm. Character is going to be the one trying to keep the master down at the point where, as you remember, at the close of the movie, he gets thrown into the time continuum and he's believed to be lost for the unforeseeable future. Well, he gets a chance to do one more little tour de force before whatever his next regeneration is that comes to pass. So that's an interesting pairing. Love to hear any work that Chase is doing. Mm-hmm. But since this is what we know is going to be delightfully over-the-top redonkulous, the title of this release is just Master! Exclamation point. That's it. Couldn't even come up with a more interesting or creative title to the story. Master!
Hey, it works.
That says everything.
You don't need any more.
As long as there's a glowy snake in it, that's all I want.
I'm sure that'll be the entire cover. Will just be Chase Masterson choking a glowy snake to death with the eyes of Eric Roberts looming overhead.
But that's not all that Big Finish is working on right now.
Not even close.
They have got so much coming. It's great. Another thing that they've got coming down the pike is there was an unproduced Fourth Doctor script that they have gotten a hold of and decided, you know what, this needs to be made.
Yeah, so this was actually very timely. This is right around the period that we're doing our rewatch right now. So this is during the tenure of Douglas Adams as your script editor. So the story never really got created. So it was the Doomsday Coalition, but the script is intact. So you'll have Tom Baker and Lala Ward and John Leeson there to be able to reprise their roles and give you full cast. So mm-hmm. You put your headphones on and you're listening to a proper story. At this point, with all of these projects they have coming along, there's one more we're going to get to in a moment. it's not surprising to me that there was a story. I left it off the news, but it had just, because everything on my feed was filled with things going on within Big Finish. And, you know, Nick Briggs and Jason Hagelery's phones probably never stop ringing with everything they've got going on. But after, I don't know how many hundreds of installments, they're actually going to do away with the monthly range that we've always known, because all of these ancillary ranges and series that they have going are so successful and so productive as far as people saying, all right, this particular combination, this doctor back with this companion, or this point in the storyline that we're really kind of digging deeper into and fitting some new stories into this little pocket within the within canon, are so entertaining to the fan base and to listeners that we don't need to do these sort of one-off stories as we've been doing before. That's actually, I find, as a consumer, as somebody who throws a fair amount of money at Big Finish on a pretty regular basis, I'm more attracted to those other series than I am to the main range at this stage. Even including like some of the short stories they do, like Short Trips and those things, where it's just really, really quick kind of hip shots, but they're all done with a particular companion or, you know, in a particular era or something like that. So I'm not surprised that they've said, you know what, the main range is, we're going to find a way to repurpose it. And rather than writing specifically to this random smattering of stories that fall into the main range, okay, here's a Sylvester story, here's a Peter story, here's a so on and so on and so on, we've got a series that we can write that into and have some continuity within it. So people can chase a storyline or a particular doctor and companion pairing, and see that chronologically a little further, which from a marketing perspective makes sense to me too. They were one of the first websites I've ever seen where you could go through a library of audio and say, oh, I don't want to just listen to things in a particular order. I want to follow that character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give me all the stories with that particular doctor or that particular companion, or that particular adversary, you know, and so they had that all sussed out. So I'm looking forward to this. But I think that's going to be a reconstruction they're doing in mid to late 2021, because I guess they're going to have to do some re-architecture of exactly how the site's going to sort all their material once the main range goes away. But but they are not done handing us material while they are doing all of this reconstruction and refitting. They are handing us something that I think, at least on the surface, until I find out some more about this, might be my favorite thing ever.
Yeah. You know, because Tom Baker doesn't have enough going on, he's going to be working on another story with Big Finish, but this time he's teaming up with somebody new.
This young whippersnapper, you know, well, young, pushing 50, David Tennis?
Something
Tenling?
Like that.
Tendonitis. Yeah. He's got a future ahead of him. He's a strapping young fella. So fourth and tenth, and this is not one of those multi-doctor Big Finish audio stories that you might expect, where a doctor comes skidding into the room and says, "Oh, my predecessor was just here," kind of thing. You know, sort of just crossing paths or something like that. This, from what I read on the surface, is direct interaction between the two. Blinovich limitation effect be damned.
Nice.
I can't wait for this. This might be something that can really cheer me up during the lockdown funk. Do we have a release date on this one in particular?
August 2020.
You know what? That's not bad. I'll take that. They'll get my money now. You can get your pre-order in. Digital download costs you, well, very little. I mean, you know, £9, that's not bad at all. No. So, in fact, that I think they've actually been lowering their overall prices. They've been giving a lot of material away free over the course of lockdown. They've been doing a lot of things on a discount. They did, they did a huge package deal recently on the entire Dark Eyes series, like all volumes of Dark Eyes, which we're huge fans of. And then they did the Eighth Doctor Time War first volume of that, which was a great collection, and did that for like $5 just last week. So every once in a while, just follow them on Twitter or set an alert on their Facebook page to notify you when they make one of their releases. Because right now, just as far as bargains that they do on a nearly daily basis, you will find something offered in the next week or two that'll say, you know what, I needed something to listen to while I'm, you know, hopping on the treadmill or getting some laundry done at the house or ignoring the work that I'm supposed to be doing from home or what have you. And you'll have some great material to enjoy. Haley, you got yourself a treadmill. The heat of Arizona has driven you indoors. How's that $25 treadmill working out for you?
It roars like a train.
But it gets the job done.
Worth every penny.
Yeah, it beats running in 105 temperatures, that's for sure. So yeah, Big Finish is extremely busy right now, but we are all the better for the bargain, for sure.
I'm Chris from Play Comics, a show where we look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material, a part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other astonishingly geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
Next week, we're going to be coming back with our classic rewatch, The Creature from the Pit.
And if you're having a hard time remembering the gist of this particular story, you're not alone. Because this is really, really overshadowed with the fact that we had just come off the heels of City of Death. So viewership numbers were really strong carrying into this. But the story synopsis might not be as familiar. It is not the most surface level, easy to comprehend plot line that you would expect. So if it fell out of your memory banks, there's probably a good reason for that. Not that it was bad. Just that it was sharing some very shiny company. We'll say that much.
All right. Well, this has been episode 382 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying, you know, we really need to have like the Doctor Who office mashup at some point. Like, can we make that happen with all this?
And this is Kira saying, anytime I'm at a loss for ideas, I am just going to turn to Haley and her compendium of knowledge of 2000s sitcoms for an entertaining bedtime story.
And this is Haley saying, my knowledge of quarantine-created content has finally paid off.
We'll see you guys next week.
Allez-y.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Want to keep the conversation going? You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, or just send us a good old-fashioned email to feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com. You can also give us a phone call at 754-225-5477. That's 754-CALL-GPR, and you may hear your voice on a future episode of the show. Everything's got to end sometime, otherwise nothing would ever get started. Join us next week for a brand new episode.
Gallifrey Public Radio is copyright 2020. See you next week.
All right, Haley, so what was your third story idea?
So not as fully cooked as the others, but it was going to use the cast of SNL since they've been doing their SNL at home. So Kate McKinnon was going to be Rose, Pete Davidson was going to be the Ninth Doctor, and A.D. Bryant was going to play the Slitheen.
That's better than the third idea that I had.
Yeah.
Where it was, you know, Ryan and Graham were busy doing, you know, doing stuff, and so it was just a Doctor and Yaz story, but because, you know, social distancing, they had to basically Yaz was getting this season 11 treatment, and like every scene starts with the Doctor being like, Yaz, you go over here and do this thing, and then she never actually gets to speak throughout the whole thing.
I would just want to see an installment of just scenes, Zoom calls between Ryan and Graham, just checking in on family during all this, where Graham is just asking Ryan, do kids still use this expression? No. Do they still say this? No. Well, what about this one? No. And that's offensive. Well, what about this one? No. And that's... No. Just like 10 minutes of that would be so worth it.
Oh, God,
did anybody ever say that?
Was that ever said? Yeah, really. Do they still dance the Charleston?
How old are you?